Amen. Thank you for that song. God is good all the time. And we'd like to greet everyone in the precious name of Jesus. It's great to be alive. It's good to live in a land of freedom. And we've been blessed very much this week. I had a question that I wanted to ask you. As you went through this past week, did you feel that you were a victim of something? And I would like to tell you, I don't want you to be a victim. Because the devil wants you to be a victim. He wants you to think you're a victim. And the fact is that Jesus Christ came to redeem you so that you can be a victor and not a victim. And there's a lot of people who are victims of their own choice. And the sad thing is, I'm thankful you're here because you chose to be here, okay? I'm thankful for that. But the devil would like to have you blame somebody else for your problems. And God doesn't want you to do that. God wants you to be responsible and accountable for your actions because that's what you are. And I'm hoping that somehow we go through this message that it will challenge you like it challenged me. This past week, I was trying to debate what we should try and share. And I had another thing in mind, and Sim Yoder is a bishop down in Georgia, and he sends out these songs and thoughts. And anyway, on Friday he sent this children's song, and it kind of clinched. I felt I needed to share. And I'd like you to sing this song, and that is, trying to think how it goes. Or be careful, little mind, what you think. And then it goes down the list of your eyes, your ears, your tongue, your hands, your feet. And he had a closing song verse that I don't ever remember singing. And but I think we'll sing the first ones, and the last one I'm not as familiar with. Do you know the last verse? The last verse goes something like, remember, little soul, God loves you. I don't know it that well, but it was a clincher. Anyway, let's sing the song. Oh, be careful, little mind, what you think. Oh, be careful, little mind, what you think. There's a Father up above watching over us in love. Oh, be careful, little mind, what you think. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a Father up above watching over down in love.
Little feet, where you go. Oh, be
I'm going to read again. I didn't write the whole thing down, but it says, remember, little soul, God loves you. You're from the moment of your birth, God has told your worth, or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's really good. And if you notice the song we sang, each one of us are responsible. You can't blame somebody else for what you're listening to, what you're looking at, what you're saying. You're responsible for all that.
Yeah, it's your choice.
It's your choice. And my cry this morning is that, well, let me make a confession. 2 weeks ago, my thoughts, my mind was not where it should have been. When I say that, I was thinking bad thoughts. I was thinking this person doesn't love me and this person doesn't do that. And it was just, I was struggling a little bit. And then this verse came to me in Proverbs. It says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And I was thinking, wow, so if I keep thinking that way, it's going to keep taking me down.
Yes.
And I don't want to go there. And then I realized, well, the devil's working on me. He's testing me. He's trying me out. And so my mind went to Philippians. And I like to read some verses in Philippians. We like to try and get some thoughts out of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Because I began to realize that Satan wants me to be a victim, wants me to blame somebody else and not take responsibility for what is happening in my life. Mm-hmm. So Philippians 4, let's begin reading at verse 1, and I'm going to read to verse 9. It says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Herodias and beseech Cynthia, that they be of the same mind of the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which I have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, a person came to Jesus in Matthew and then said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Do you realize that your mind is an awesome thing? As a man thinketh, so is he. Your thinking affects your emotions. It affects your mentality. It affects your health. It affects you spiritually. All these aspects are connected with how you think. And it's really important. And when you go to the Philippians, the interesting thing is, if you notice, the songs that Art sang this morning were on Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving keep us in the right frame of mind. It helps us to realize it's all about God. It's not about me. It's about God. And when we put God in his proper place, things happen for positive. And it's very critical. And the devil, be very blunt, we live in a very toxic society. And this poison is trying to penetrate our lives. And the devil doesn't care how he gets it to us. Trying to think, at the beginning of the service, for those that weren't here, there was, I think, it was mentioned in regards to, what do you call that thing? When people have these ideas that are way off in left field.
Conspiracies.
Conspiracies, yeah. We were talking about conspiracies for some of you that weren't here early. And, these things can trouble you. They can really take you down. It's toxic. And God says, don't think on those things. Think on these things. And I would just like to touch a little bit on these words here quickly. Before I go into those words, I want you to think of some of the things that were said beforehand in this chapter. It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You need this relationship so that you can stay above this toxic waste, which is all about us. And then it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. In other words, if I understand right, that's your walk of life, your life of humility, your life of gentleness, your life of kindness. You know, this, let people see that. And in verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. Don't get anxious. Don't get worried. Don't get all, you know, bent out of shape. When I think of bent out of shape, I always think of what Les says, you know, blessed are the flexible, for they never get bent out of shape. And we need to make sure that we're connected with God, the sovereign God, the one that can do everything, and we can find our rest and peace there. So don't get worried, because we need to trust God. And then in that same verse, it says, prayers and everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And I was made to think here, when Paul was writing this, he was in prison, and he had an attitude of gratitude. And I've said it before, an attitude of gratitude will give you altitude in life. And if we can reflect God in that way, it draws people to God. And it shouldn't be about us, it's about God. All right, let's go to these words. It says, finally, my brethren, in my Bible, I wrote above that children. So finally, children, whatsoever things are true. And all right. If I remember my acronym right, true is trustworthy, real, unchanging, and eternal. That's what's true. And that means it's not going to change tomorrow. It's going to be the same tomorrow as it is today. That's true. And we need to make sure that we think on these things. Things that are true. Things that are not changing. And we know that God's word is true. It will not change. God's word is going to be eternal. And so if we can center on that, we're going to find this rest and peace. Then the next word is honest. And I think in the one translation it says noble. I think that's the New King James. But anyway, honest means it's honorable, genuine, respectable, and humble at the same time. So we need to be thinking on things that are honorable, things that carry their weight, things that are of value, things that are respectable, and things are not boasting about them, but it's being a noble person. The next word is just. And just is something that is, when we think of a just judge, we know that they're right. We know that this is based on truth. What the decision that's being done is. It's right. I was made to think. Going back to honest, 1 Timothy 3, 8 to 9. Let me just read that. reads like this. This is in regards to deacons and deacons' wives. It says, likewise, must the deacons be grave, and that's the same thing as being honest, and not double-tongued or given to much wine, not greedy and filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith and pure conscience. And let those also be first proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sobers, faithful in all things. So in other words, a deacon or deacons and the wife, they need to be honest. They need to be true people. Anyway, guided by truth, I'd like to go to 2 Peter. There's some verses there I'd like to read. When a person is just, 1 Peter 1. To Simon Peter, the servant of the apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace from multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all these things that pertain unto and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to add patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. The thing about being just, the only way we're going to be able to have these characteristics, and I should have said that at the beginning, they're technically Christian virtues. And if you would look at the idea of virtue, it means moral excellent. It also means righteousness or right living. And so if we want to have righteousness or right living, we need to think on these things and come out right. The next word is pure. That word means clean, chaste, not feeding on earthly lusts. It says, be ye holy, for I am holy. 2 Corinthians 7, 1 reads like this. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This is the word that I know we talked about. It was before it was talked about pure. But I would like to just look at it in a different perspective in light of what these words are. And that is, a person who is pure is perfect. I say, we only find perfection in Christ. You have to have this relationship with Christ so you can have this divine nature, so you can be pure. You can't find it any other way. I have written down here, a pure person is unmixed from the world. The Bible talks about we have to be separate. We have to be separate from the world. And if you're going to be pure, you have to separate yourself from this dross, from this toxin. You have to get away from the poison if you want to be pure. And a person who is pure is redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It goes back to that relationship aspect. And last, and I mean, maybe this might be somewhat redundant to some respects, but we have to be empty of sin and self. But it doesn't stop there. You don't just empty yourself of sin and self. You have to be filled with the Spirit. You have to be filled with Christ. And this is why this verse is, think on these things. Notice it's, you know, it's in the beginning of this verse, it says, finally, brethren. In other words, this isn't a suggestion. This is a command. This is, finally, brethren, do this. You got to do this if you're going to come out right. And if you're going to, now I'm going to go down a little trail here that I've been not really wanting to exactly, but there's a lot of people who are not pure, and they try and find their satisfaction through pornography. And it's because something's not right. And it was brought to my attention that a person who possibly is not loved, a person who possibly has been intimidated or has no self-worth, seeks for something, to find something where they can find power or find something. And my cry is, or my observation in my short lifetime is, I was sharing with a brother here recently, and that is, I'm afraid too many people have seen or are watching porn in so-called Christian circles. And when I realized that, you know, Titus, you're the man of the hour. Thank you. I needed that. When I realized that one of the reasons why there's such a problem is we're not encouraging one another. We're not helping one another. We're not exhorting one another. We're not just lifting people up. It almost seemed like where I came from that if somebody did a good job, well, you don't want to tell them that because it might go to their head. Yeah, pride or proud or whatever. And there is that potential, but I'll tell you what, the devil has flipped that thing so bad that he has suppressed it, and it has destroyed many, many people. And I'm going to be, you know, my parents probably didn't tell me that they loved me until later years. And that in itself is detrimental to this aspect of purity. We need to feel loved, and we need to feel special. We need to feel belonged. And let me just tell you this. We can find that in Christ. We can find that in God. And I really think the devil has tried his best to destroy prosperous churches through intimidation and through degrading and all this.
Subjugation would be a big one.
Subjugation, putting down. And after thinking this thing through, I can understand now possibly why there's so much immorality in a lot of churches. Because the devil has played games with people and saying, you're nothing, you're not special. But we are. One soul is worth more than the whole world. Hello? And we have to realize that God loves you. God loves me. And I am thankful, you know, the last 2 weeks, whatever, that the Spirit works in my life yet. And is helping me see. And I think God took me through that to hopefully maybe bring this message that maybe I can help somebody not to go down that trail. Because God wants you to think right. And God wants you to dwell on these things, these truths that are going to build you up and draw you closer to God. So God says we are to be, think on these things that are pure, clean, chaste, not feeding earthly lusts. Things that are lovely. And for 1 Corinthians 13, I could just read that. We don't have it memorized, but the verses are, Charity suffereth long, is kind, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemingly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, charity. And so we need to be looking at things that are lovely. We have to have compassion. We have to look at the good in people. We don't want to be tearing people apart, because that's on the wrong kingdom. Think on lovely things. It says a good report. That's lifting people up and not down. And that's why I think there's no place for gossip. Gossip is deadly. It's toxic, it's poison, it is totally wrong. And the devil plays games with that. So make sure, you know, if you really love someone, you want to go to that person and you'll say, hey, I heard this. Or, you know, please, you know, we love you so much. The gossip is usually behind the back door and behind their back and all this stuff. It destroys church life. It destroys family life. It destroys people. And that is not of God. We are to think on these things. And then praiseworthy. It's an attitude of gratitude. In Hebrews 13, 12 to 13. We need to encourage each other to walk with God. In Matthew 12, 36 to 37. I would like to read that. Satan wants you to make you think that you're nothing. You don't mean anything or have nothing. But Matthew 12, it says, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account therefore in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The reason I share that is because your words are very, very important and very critical to your judgment and also for the encouragement of other people. If your life is reflecting Christ in every way, you're going to be helping people. You're not going to be destroying them and tearing them down and trashing them and throwing them in the waste can. You're going to be trying to lift them out of the waste can. You're going to be trying to help them. And I think about it, you know, no one's perfect. I'm not perfect. But Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. And I would like to say the same thing. You follow me as long as I'm following Christ, follow me. But don't trust in me. Trust in Jesus Christ. Trust in Jesus Christ. I would like to say a little bit, I shouldn't say it's totally conclusion. You get some ideas and I'm ready to close shop. I'm not quite there yet. But in verse 9, I would like you to think of this. I'm going to read this verse again. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I would like to give this thing, the Christian life is a practical life. It's something that it's not out there somewhere you can't reach. Christianity is, it's shoe leather stuff. It's real. And there's four things here that we are to practice and to enjoy. And that is, says things learned in that verse. And that's Christian practices. You know, it's, we greet each other with a holy kiss. We hug each other. We love each other. We have communion together. There's practices that we do that, you know, we need to keep so that we can stay on track. Things received, and that's Christian blessings. I don't know of anyone here who's not been blessed by Jesus Christ, and we are blessed above measure. And reason I say that is we live in a country that's so blessed. And sadly, there's some people think we should be trashed because of that. But the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. So you are more responsible than those people who are in a third world country. So we have to be accountable for what we have. But it's the blessings of God. It says things heard. And that's doctrine. as it's being preached. You know, we hear the doctrines of God, and we need to do that. And then last one, things seen, and that is Christian miracles. That might somebody say, "Ah, oh, we don't have miracles," but I'm here to tell you, God is real. And I don't want to be bragging, but I thank God He answers my prayers. There's many a time that, even, you know, "Lord, help me find this pocket knife," and He helps me find it. I mean, it's little things like that. God does it, and I'm like, wow. And my cry is, you should be experiencing the same thing. And it goes back to, it's a choice. It's your choice. So, Christianity is practical. It's not a ritual, form, dead, and dry. Christianity is not that. But Christianity is, it's divine, it's godlike, it's living, it's life-giving. Christianity is vital, it's necessary. Christianity is dynamic, it's effective, it's compelling. Christianity is liberating, it's redeeming us from bondage, it's freedom. I've told different people in the past year, I said, if you want to have faith in the devil, you're going to have fear. But if you have faith in Jesus Christ and you have faith in God, you're going to find freedom, joy, peace, and rest. And the question is, the choice is yours. The choice is yours. The thing that I would like you to kind of hopefully get a hold of, and that is, or the question I could ask is, what are some practical steps for this Christian virtue? What can we do that we can maintain or keep this Christian virtue? I'm going to give you some simple things, things that I do. There's one on this list that I have not done, and I'll tell you which one that is. But first of all, start every day with God. Start every day with God. Prayer, read His Word, just start every day like that. And don't just in the morning, pray throughout the day. Just talk to God, because He's there. Just talk to Him. He loves that. I was made to think that, and I shared this before, I think, but one of my sons called me about some advice and something, and after I hung up, it hit me. It made me feel good from the standpoint my son wanted to get my opinion, my advice, my thoughts. I mean, he still had the choice to whether he's going to take it or not, but it made me as a father realize my son wanted to hear me. And I thought, you know what? That's what God wants. God wants to hear you. God wants to hear you say, what do I do today? What do I do when this guy steps on my toes? You know, help me, Lord. I need help here. And God will pick up the tab on that. He'll make it work. All right. Meditate on truth. Unplug yourself for 15 or 16 minutes a day. That's the one I didn't do. I haven't done yet, but I think it's right. The key to meditation isn't that you just meditate on the word, but you put it to practice. You live it out. But for some reason, the devil is using this technology to dumb us down. I'm being very blunt, because my wife and I, we use Google Maps very much. And the other, I think we went to Melnix, and I didn't know where I was. I mean, we came in on the back way, and we used Google Maps, and we were like, how do we get out of here? We used Google Maps to get out, but we didn't know where we were. I mean, I think it was told me that we weren't real far from 222. But, you know, when I was younger, we had paper maps. And a paper map was in every vehicle to know where we're at. I mean, if you have trouble, you can get the map out and You know, and some of us do have an inner compass. We know east, north, south, west, whatever, and we can find our way out. We know if we go this direction long enough, we're going to hit a road that we know. You know, we do that. But technology, I think, is making us dumber. And what I'm trying to drive at is, in this scripture, we need to unplug ourselves from everything around us and just meditate on God. Ask, you know, talk to God. Just let him share with you what he wants you to know. I think we're missing something. Another thing I've written down here, steps to having Christian virtue, is connect with God-fearing people. The Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners. And if you're going to surround yourself with people that murmur, complain, and moan, and groan, and like to make a fuss about everything, they're going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you. But if you surround yourself with people that love and fear God and want to do his commandments and live it out in their life, it's a good thing for you. And lastly, end the day with God. I love, before I go to bed, well, actually, a lot of times I'm in bed and I'm praying and I thank God for everything that he did for me that day. And the key, I think, is that we make sure that we are doing what God wants us to do. I have learned that if God shares with you to do something and you don't do it, your walk in relationship with God stops right there. It will not go any further. You have to surrender. You have to say, yes, Lord, and I'll do that. And then he can take you to the next level or the next grade or the next high mountain. With that being said, sometimes it's a valley. Because that song we sang, thank you for the trials. Thank you for the temptations. Because my thinking is that if you're not tempted, if you're not being challenged, maybe you're in a place where the devil likes you to be. You don't want to be there. You want to be on the battlefront. You want to be with doing what God wants you to do. And God will be faithful in showing you that. First Corinthians. I'm going to read Philippians. In the same book here, there's some verses here I would like to read. Philippians 2. It reads like this. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as I have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless, harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked, perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We have said over and over many times, our cry here is that we want people to be honest, humble, and holy. And I I am thankful that we have a God that loves us. I am thankful that God has given us his word as light to help us to not lose our way. And I do appreciate Bruce's thing about we need to make sure. I love that illustration about the guy laying down on the floor. In other words, we have to be in God's perspective so we know what God wants. Because the devil would like to see us laying down on the floor and think we have it all wrapped up and know what we're doing. And I'd say God is everything. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you with humble hearts, knowing that you have loved us so much and we are not worthy. We thank you, Father, for this brotherhood. We thank you for everyone here. And we ask you, Father, that if there's someone here who is not thinking right or who has not found their relationship with you the way it should be, that they might make their calling and election sure before time and eternity meet, Father. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. We thank you for the moving of your Holy Spirit. And we ask that you might continue to have that move among us here today. We pray that you might help us to reflect your kingdom in such a way that the world can see you more clearly. We thank you again for this freedom. We thank you again for the privileges we have. And most of all, Father, for your word. We again pray that you might bless each one here with a better understanding of your will for their lives. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.